Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How was your evening? Everyone sleep well? Yeah? No? Well, hey, I like to start off Sunday mornings. Actually, every time I have a Bible class or get together with a large group of kids, I like to start off the morning. I call it Tell Me Something Good. It's kind of a reflective period. This is an opportunity for you guys to give me feedback and for the adults who are listening to hear. It's an opportunity for you to say the things that have went well for you this weekend, maybe areas that you felt God was speaking to you, moving you. You know, and I understand this is can be a pretty subjective question. If you feel like talking, please talk. So I give you kind of this opportunity to tell me something good. Maybe just by a raise of hand. Let's start off. Miles, what's good, man? Whoa. Before Miles just lets off. You know, Miles and I have a little bit of history. I've known him for a few years, so I've had him in many a Bible study. So I know when he's about to open up his mouth, he's gonna say something good. So go ahead, Miles. What's good, man?
Giants of San Francisco won after 18 innings. That is really good.
I guess if you do kneel before the altar that is known as baseball, that would be a very great thing. Yeah, no, that's good. If you like sports in the sportsing realm, the Giants have won. They're victorious. Yeah, that's good. What else? What's been good for you this weekend? Eli, my man.
Well, it was good to connect with Joseph and Nate, because we only live like an hour from them, and just one of those things that's always been in my heart, that we have brothers and sisters who are closer than we think, brothers a lot wider than we think, and it's in more places sometimes than we think. So it was cool to connect with them, just to make some commitments to try to work together.
Absolutely. We make like these... We make a long distance relationships, and then we forget that we really do have relationships with people that are a lot closer than we really originally believed, or maybe we just kind of forgot. We got busy, but we have friends all around us. So what else is good? What's been good for you? Yes, brother.
The host homes were amazing.
Amen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's take a pause, a moment, to kind of think about that for a second, because, you know, even though we have the facility here, none of this would really be possible if we didn't have a place to go and sleep. You know, I guess we could all just walk around like zombies here and sleep on a chair, but you wouldn't have been comfortable, you wouldn't have been rested, you probably wouldn't have been fed well, you wouldn't have a place to get cleaned up, change your clothes, brush your teeth, hopefully. Yeah, brother. Absolutely. You know, there's something to be said about like a youth rally or youth get-togethers too. I mean, I realize that we all live in the same world, but at least you know here that you guys have the same mindset, the same goals, the same aspirations as far as God is concerned. So you kind of start off like on a level playing field. It's easy to make friends. You know, it's easy to let your guard down. You don't have to hide. Yeah, I'm a Christian. This is what I believe. You know, you don't have to just associate with certain people. You can meet anybody. I hope you guys did that this weekend. I hope you made many friends. And I think that was kind of the intention on the group home, is like you just intermingle everybody and mix them all up and kind of get you uncomfortable and meeting new people. So yeah, thank you very much, man. What's good? What else is good? Yeah.
We had the awesome lunch caterers. I guess I don't know the name of the company. I forgot. But Sergio was the cook and his friend. And what I thought was really awesome is that some of the teens actually were visiting with them. You know, they're not here. They weren't really part of the youth forum except for serving us. And they're not, you know, as far as Christianity. I don't know where they're at.
Yeah,
so
that's
really
awesome.
Good light on them.
Absolutely. That is good. Yeah. It's kind of like what?
Camp.
It's kind of like camp. Look, I'm just gonna choose you at random. Let's go a little deeper. What do you mean? I mean, what was good about the devotional? What's good? You know, and this is the kind of get into the realm of what's your name?
Will.
Will? to get into Will's world. Like, what was so good about it? I ask a pretty broad question. Like, what's good about that camp feeling? Like, what is good about that? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I grew up going to camps too, several different kinds of camps. But like that sense of community that you build throughout the week, like by the end of the week, the first day, you don't want to be there usually. And by the end of the week, you wish it was longer. You know, that's what happens when you build relationships, when you build healthy relationships, when you communicate with people. And singing also kind of, some way, somehow, I don't know, God built it into us. It draws us closer to each other, and it draws us closer to Him. So thank you very much, man. Yeah, that is real good. Thank you. Anything else? Anyone? I'll tell you. Yeah, please. Absolutely. Well, it snowed? Yeah. Huh. I didn't think that was even possible. Is it? I don't know. I'm not going to ask. That's probably a longer conversation. Anyone else? So I'll tell you what's good about this for me. You know, growing up in a church, growing up going to Bible camps, growing up going to youth forums, going to all kind of youth activities. You know, there's something in these moments that you won't get in the world. And I don't know if you've been able to pinpoint it, and I'm not going to say what it is for you. You know, it might be several different things, but there's something about the atmosphere. There's something about a relationship with each other and a relationship with God that, you know, you can't find. You know, and it's not confined to the walls and the buildings. You know, it's not confined to maybe your local church, you know, but it's just the atmosphere, the attitude, that there's something beautiful about it. There's something life-altering, you know, and it kind of shapes your future. You know, I bet you can ask any of your parents, maybe even some of your grandparents, and ask them about what they had grown up with in church, and they'll remember times like VBS, and they'll be able to, they'll be able to pinpoint specific things, like really strange specific things about VBS, like what craft they did in, I don't know, 19... I'm not going to go there. I don't want to be rude. But, you know what I'm saying. It was the 19s. We're in 2014 now, so we're not going to go there. But, you know, there's something really deep about it. There's something historical about it, if you will. And I think it's that intention is deeply rooted into the Word of God. So our study is going to be found from the book of Hebrews this morning. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it on up. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 10. Is anybody in here have the same problem that I have? By a raise of hands? I guess you need to know my problem first, huh? You don't want to just associate yourself with me and all my problems. Oh, I have a list of problems. one problem that I have, it's called the too long didn't read problem. Does anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Too long didn't read? Okay. I've had that problem for many years. You know, scientists have just recently said that people that really read, like really open up a book and study, like not just like reading information on the internet or, you know, sitting in a science class and, oh, here it is, but like really opening up and studying it. It says that there, for some reason, your life, you live a healthier life from reading. It's kind of, I don't know the science behind it, but there's something about reading. There's something about looking down at a page. There's something in it, maybe it's just like a historical thing. It's like, again, deeply rooted inside of us. And we get in there and we dig in. And maybe it's something that's happening in our heart. Like something's churning. Something's changing. and we're thinking, maybe this is good for me. Maybe this is going to change me. We're going to look at something here. But again, this too long didn't read. I've struggled with that for many years. And maybe it's not too long didn't read. Maybe it's I stay on Facebook all day. Or maybe I get on YouTube and I know I have just heaps and loads of homework to do. And now it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm on Reddit or whatever website that you use. Like, you're just like, just totally, you're avoiding everything that you have to do and you're just focusing on avoidance. You know, I think that's kind of part of the problem of technology. Technology isn't inherently bad, and it's not inherently good either. It just is. Technology is a tool that we have somehow created. You know, just to pause for a second, you know what's really weird about just like creating things? Like, we think that we've arrived somewhere. We're like, yeah, I built this thing. I've collected some minerals and fashioned this metal and this precious metal, and I've made this aluminum casing iPhone 6, and it's a crystal screen, and it's, you know, we think that we've done something magnificent when really we haven't really done anything. I mean, we didn't, like, on a molecular level, put together the atoms that make up these precious metals or gems. Like, we didn't really create anything. We just kind of repurposed things. And in our life, we do that. And sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's really horribly bad. Like, I've tried to repurpose things in the kitchen. Like, I've got, like, a bunch of leftovers, and I'll try to make something, and it doesn't turn out well. Like, maybe you've been there, like, home alone, and you're like, I need to make something, I'm kind of hungry. Repurpose things, and it doesn't work well. We as a species, like, we're not the real creator. We're not the real originator. We're just repurposing things, refashioning things. And I feel like the internet is just, it's just the same thing of that. It's like, we've repurposed our time. We've rescheduled our time. It's just a way to escape. And we use it like, oh, I'm going to use Wikipedia. And I'm going to do some research on the internet. I've been there. You're like, I'm going to Google this. And you Google, how far away is the moon from the earth? Like, that's the original Google. And then before you know it, you're like, again, you're on the other side of YouTube watching like UFO conspiracy theories again at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you haven't done your homework, or you haven't done your chores, and your parents are like, get off the Xbox, or you know, and the list goes on. It could be fill in the blank with technology, fill in the blank with something. Like, we are just repurposing our time, filling it with something else. So too long didn't read. This morning we are going to read. This morning, we're going to look through Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read through it. We're going to look into a historical viewpoint. And here in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, many see it and many understand it as this great hall of faith, these great men and women who've lived throughout history, and they've purposed their time in such a way that is glorifying to God. In fact, they're seen as being faithful stewards of God. I don't know about you, but when I'm long and gone and just dust again on this earth, I want God to look down and say, you know what? There was a guy named Glenn, or there was a guy named Will, and he was faithful to me. And all the things he did, he turned off the internet and he sought after me. You know, he got off of Facebook and he really talked to people. He took the message to people. You know, I want God to see me as being faithful. How many of you have studied this chapter here in Hebrews before? So, excellent. Good. So there's some who haven't. So there's something to learn here this morning then. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, pardon me, the 11th chapter, says this, starting verse 1. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it our ancestors were approved. I just want to stop there for a second. You know, I think there are things that are kind of lost in translation. There are things over the years, idioms, if you will. There are things that just haven't been passed down to certain, like, to generations, sayings, like, maybe you've heard this one, maybe you haven't, Like if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, have you ever heard that before? Maybe. Like there are sayings like that, and that one in particular, I think rings true. Because if it was good for God's people to be faithful then it should be good for me to be faithful today. And if it was approved by God then, and they were approved by their faith then, surely I should be approved by my faith now. And it's something that hasn't changed, and technology can't change that. Nothing can really change that, except for you. And again, I hit on this like yesterday. The application is really yours. No one can change your heart like you can. No one can do this. So when we look at what the Hebrew writer has to say here in chapter 11, I really want you to think about what we've kind of learned this week, this weekend, what we've talked about changing our attitudes about this world, about technology, about how we communicate with people, how we allow technology to maybe control us or not control us. Think about, try to imagine yourself as these people that the Hebrew writer talks about. Verse 3 says, "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain." How? I don't know. Something inside of his heart, something inside of his offering towards God was better. But by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. By this, he was approved as a righteous man, because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not experience death. And he was not to be found because God took him away. For prior to his transformation, he was approved, having pleased God. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. You know, this just kind of reminds me of some of the things we've been looking at. Just maybe direct your attention to this one-way poster over here. And I know for you, maybe it's just kind of out of sight, out of mind. But every time I kind of walk around here, it's in my peripheral. It's just something I keep drawing back to. One way. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We are approved by God through our faith in the belief of the one way. We are approved by God in our belief through Jesus. You know, and that was really the nugget that I talked about yesterday, that real truth about the gospel, that Jesus is God. And to believe in him, to believe in his life, is the miracle of Jesus. And in doing so, we are approving God's miracles to the world by just believing in him. And it seems like something so small and maybe so insignificant, because everything around you is like crushing in on you. It's like gravity, and you're like at the core of it. And everything is just building up around you. You know, your future, college, your careers, your life, your political views. You know, not to really go there, but maybe it's something else. But there are just things, situations in your world is just woof, just, and it eventually, and I hope that it happened this weekend for someone. Just like the gospel, it brings you to a point of singularity. It brings you to this point of, okay, God, I am going to trust in you. I'm going to believe in you. And this is the miracle. This faith that I believe in you, it'll free me. It frees you from the mounting guilt. It frees you from the mounting pressures of the world. And it's a beautiful thing. And I hope that's something that you believe. I hope that you understand, like, this is the kind of faith that we're talking about. This is what God is promised to you and is giving to you through his Son. And it's the same faith that we see our ancestors were approved by. Maybe you know a lot about the historical Old Testament. Maybe you know a lot about these people we're going to look at. Maybe you know nothing about them. But you have to understand that in their time, they were pressed upon as well. They were, I don't want to use the word forced, but they lived in the same world. We try to think that we live in a completely different world. We try to think that it's 2014. We have technology, we have the internet, things have changed, but realistically, nothing has really changed. We're still lost people in a lost world. Joe and I watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure the other day. Has anybody ever seen that movie? I haven't seen it for a few years. And I just was like on Netflix. I was like, oh yeah, let's check it out. And they take a trip throughout history, and they gather up like some of the most influential people. And they, like, one scene that I can particularly think of, like, they go back into like the Western days, and there's like all these cowboys, and they're wearing like their super 80s clothes, like belly shirts, and they're just like totally out of character, totally out of the scene. And they're just like, but strangely, they're walking through the masses, like they go into like the city, and no one bats an eye at them. Like, no one is like, you guys are out of place. And I don't. If things were to change, I think if we were to go back in time, I don't know if things would be any different. I mean, sure, if they saw our iPhone, they might freak out and smash it with a rock or something. But, you know, if we just as a people were just transplanted in time and space into Abraham's life, yeah, culturally things would be different. But I think we would be the same people suffering from the same struggles in life. You know, am I accepted by my community? Am I good enough for my family? Am I good enough for this world? Am I the right shape? Am I wearing the right schmock? You know, are my sandals tan too dark? You know, just like, they're just, things haven't changed. Look at verse 5 again. Or pardon me, verse 6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. You know, this is just kind of like a gut check again. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to be approved by him without faith. You know, and it really begs you to ask the question for yourself. Okay, God, what is faith? What does faith look like in my life? What does it look like me living it out? Is there a destiny that you've created for me? Is there a purpose for me in this world? Let's keep reading. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, after being warned about what was not yet seen, in reverence, built an ark to deliver his family. And by this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to the place he was going to receive as his inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of that same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was barren, received power to conceive an offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. And therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith without having received the promise. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on this earth. Verse 14, and now those who saw such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been remembering their land they came from, they would have had opportunity to return. But they now aspire to a better land, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was offering up his unique son, about whom it had been said, "In Isaac your seed will be called." And he considered God to be able to even raise someone from the dead, from which he also got him back as an illustration. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning these things too. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, as he was nearing the end of his life, mentioned the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasures of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. By faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, as he preserved as one who sees him who is invisible. 28. By faith he instituted the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And by faith they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administrated justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again. Some men were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourges, as well as bonds of imprisonment. And they were stoned. They were sawed in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, and caves, and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. The pressures of life, the pressures of seeking after God, the pressures of continuing to be faithful, even when the world is crushing in on you. Maybe physically, nothing has happened to you. You haven't been sawed in two. Maybe physically, someone hasn't been taken from you for the case of Christ. But there were people who did. There were people who experienced faith in these ways. And it's not to say that we won't experience something that not in our time. But something happened through their faith. All of these men and women, they sought after a treasure that was promised to them. And like Abraham, he didn't know where he was going. He sought after God. He could see the treasure that was God in the distance, and he sought after it. And they all perished. They all died. Just like we will. But the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of that one way through Jesus Christ, that was the treasure that they saw. That was the glory that they perceived and they lived and they died for. And through their faith, they were approved. But their lives were not just lived for them, but they were also lived for us as well. And I think this, again, encompasses this idea of community. Again, this is why we get a feeling of just of homeness here, like we talked about before. Look at the end of this chapter. Look at what it says. Verse 39 says, "And all these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us." Guys, though we sit amongst ourselves, we sit amongst a much larger heavenly host. Faith throughout the ages surrounds us. And it's a promise that was given to them and is made perfected through Christ, and we receive it all together. And it's a beautiful thing, because you might feel alone in this world. You might feel cast out in this world, in your community, and in your school. Maybe, excuse me, in your home life, if you feel alone, but you're not. There is a great heavenly host that awaits. There's a great multitude of those who were faithful to God. Guys, as we kind of wrap up this morning, I want you to just remember this weekend. Remember these moments. Remember these times in your historical life, because one day you'll look back. One day you'll be, hopefully if you live long enough, you'll look back and say, "I remember 2014 Ventura Youth Rally. I remember where I was. I remember the message of faith that was preached, and it solidified inside of me my hope in God." And maybe it's not the youth rally. Maybe it's a camp that you're going to go to in 7 months or a year. Or maybe it's just this life that you're living out, the choices that you're making, this destiny, if you will. God is working through you. Remember moments like this. No snapshot, no Snapchat, no picture, no Facebook status, no tweet will ever be as memorable as moments like this. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for allowing us to gather here this morning to study your word. I thank you for just the ability to be able to read through your message. We understand sometimes, God, it's difficult for us. We get distracted. We get confused by historical viewpoints. We get distracted by the things we don't know. But God, allow us to just focus in on the things that we do know. Allow us to consider again the faith of those in past, Father, and the approval that you have made through them, God. Allow us to see them and emulate the faith that they had, a willingness that they had, that treasure that you had promised to them has been fulfilled, Father, through Jesus. Allow us to hold on to him. Allow us to shape our lives around him. God, I would ask that as we continue to worship you today, that you would find us approved, that you would find the things that we say to be edifying, to be uplifting, to be enriching, Father, that the things that we allow to come out of our mouth would be the truth to people, to the world, Father. Again, we're just so honored to be amongst this great host of people, and even larger, Father, the great heavenly host that awaits us, God. We're so thankful for all the many blessings that you've given us with, whether they're physically tangible, Father, or just spiritual unknowns, Father, just the guidance in our life, a protection in our life, Father. I would ask that you continue to watch over us, continue to protect us, God. Continue to do only what you can do, Father, in our lives. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, guys.